but newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Hokas, Pierre Lafon, Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And today we have, for the first time, a guest who, among other things, is a co-host of a show on this station. We're introducing here Michelle Hillman Meiring, Executive Director of Police Activities League. So this is going to be nothing for you today.
Yeah, piece of cake. No problem. Thank you for having me.
So it's Police Activities League. I'm from the East Coast. I know you find that hard to believe. And everything in the East Coast that has PALs, Police Athletic League, is what's the difference?
The difference is only in the term. We're both, and usually probably they run more athletic-type programs. I imagine they have a lot of boxing programs and sports-related programs. But we're all part of the same national organization or state organization. There's also sheriff athletic leagues or sheriff activities leagues, so sharing the common core mission.
And the mission is?
To build the positive relationships between youth and law enforcement. Help reduce negative juvenile behavior and just have them develop an appreciation for law enforcement. See them as peace officers, as an ally.
When the kids join, do they know that is the mission, or do they just think it's going to be fun? And that happens to come about slowly when they do have fun.
For most of our kids, it comes about slowly. We have a teen center where we operate the majority of our programs. That's at 1235 Chapala. And most of them join because their friends are involved or a teacher has recommended them. And they register. But they notice police officers will stop in and introduce themselves, play a game of pool, get involved in the programming. So it's just sort of a natural development of these positive relationships.
Is there a fee to join?
There is no fee to join. All of our programs are 100% free of charge.
And the ages are?
11 through 18.
And the kids come from a vast group. The spectrum is great of the type of kids that join?
Well, we have predominantly those who attend our teen center have been low-income Hispanic youth. But when you look at sort of where we're located, that's the demographic surrounding the teen center. And if you look at the demographic of the schools, 50 to 60% of the schools are Hispanic. So we don't discriminate on who can join PAL. It just that typically is who comes through the doors.
And the group is both male and female, girls and boys?
Yes. It's about 50-50 split. So we have a really good balance.
And if a child has been involved in legal trouble with the law, does it exclude them from being part of this group?
It doesn't necessarily exclude them. We just will look at what activity got them into trouble and if they are willing to make a change, a positive change. Our teen center is really a safe haven for youth, so we don't want that element being brought in, the tagging or being involved in a gang. Usually if they aren't part of a gang, they don't come into a building that has police on it. But if somebody actively wants to make a change, we will come up with a plan that ensures that they have the tools and resources to make that change.
And the staff, are they focused on athletics, or are they also focused on social interaction and well-being. What is the type of person that is part of your staff?
Well, the unique thing with ours, we years ago, people who have been familiar with PAL in the past, we operated the junior high sports programs. And in 2013, we were pulled from the schools, and the schools now run their own athletic programs. So we sort of had to redevelop the programs that we were going to offer the kids. And out of the teen center, our fastest growing is the tutoring lab. But my staff, we look at the development of the whole child, the accountability, the social aspect. Some kids come strictly for the social aspect. Mm-hmm. So we do have jiu-jitsu and girl self-defense and a program with the Montecito YMCA and golf where they can get that physical component. And then we have a fantastic music program and a flamenco dance program where they can get a little more art and culture. But so it's sort of the whole child, and we hope that it all translates into building the future leaders.
Do the kids have to come every day, or do they schedule themselves, or do you schedule them, or you just show up when you're interested?
It's a drop-in center, but we run most of our programs in a 8-week session. So golf is an 8-week session, and we have limited spots available. So if they sign up, we expect them to commit for those 8 weekly classes. In the music program, they sign up for a 30-minute individual music class. So if they're enrolled in one of those programs, then we want to hold them accountable to finishing that session. Otherwise, some kids just come in, drop in, do some homework, get some help, play some pool, get a snack, and have a safe place to be. So we don't regulate, but some kids are assigned a tutor specifically, you know, 3 days a week. And so we do expect them to be there at that time. Otherwise, it takes away from another youth.
How many kids do you have?
On a daily basis, we're around 40 to 50 teens dropping in the center. And probably throughout the month, close to 130 youth.
And the parents, are they involved?
The very exciting part is in the past 2 years, we've seen an increase in parental involvement. We, especially with regards to their education in our tutoring program. So we have parents coming in and talking to us about their educational needs and ensuring that, hey, can I get them in this program? So we've really seen an improvement. And I think a key to a child's success in becoming a respected member of community is parental involvement. So we've been able to improve that.
And you have obviously Spanish-speaking staff as well?
I do. I have two full-time, I'm a full-time, and then we have two other full-time staff that are bilingual and four part-time staff that are bilingual. I myself am not bilingual, but the rest of my staff is.
I'm bilingual. I speak Californian and New Yorkese.
I speak a little Midwestern. Yeah, you betcha.
this is a beautiful, wonderful place, Santa Barbara, but when we've had the superintendents, the last two superintendents of schools on, they talk about one of the more difficult challenges they have is the tension between the kids in school. There's, you know, as much as we'd like to think, there are tensions between different socioeconomic kids, different race issues, and is this a place to iron those things out, or is it too homogenous for that? I mean, is that an issue with you?
Well, I would love to have more diversity in our teen center. We have worked with the ADL. We have taken kids to, when they've had summits, I've taken youth to those summits. We're looking at how we can integrate some of the different youth-based organizations mm-hmm. that may not also be quite as diverse. It's, and I really talk to my teens because a lot of them are like, we don't like those racial divides. And it's like, okay, well, are you speaking strictly Spanish at school? Are you being inclusive? Are you being exclusive to someone who may not speak Spanish? So We try to bridge that gap, and we will work with many different organizations. I think partnerships are a key when you're working with teens in a nonprofit to provide the best resources. But I think in recent years, it probably has been increased tensions. But it's, I can't, you know, go and pick a child up off the street and say, you need to be come to the teen center. But we can open up dialogue for our teens.
And do the schools recommend kids?
We do. We probably receive referrals daily from some of the teachers and counselors.
And I guess the bigger way of recruiting or having people be aware is through other kids who go who are friends. They say, come on and join me. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of our biggest recruitments is word of mouth from the kids.
And are the police really engaged, or are they doing this because every police department does it, or do they really involve themselves in the daily activity?
They do involve themselves. In fact, yesterday I had one of our beat coordinators. He popped in the teen center. He was there for about 25 minutes, walked around, interacted with the kids, meets them. We do have a program officer assigned to us. He will, when he can, he will take the kids out to the golf program. He'll be in the jiu-jitsu class with the kids. In the summertime, we do a cops and kids camp where we take 35 youth. In this past year, we had 6 officers in attendance. So they do get that positive mentoring from law enforcement.
And I guess if it's a male policeman, some of these kids who don't have good role model parents get the benefit of having a male role model.
Oh, that is for sure. We often have them, we'll call one of those male officers to come in and just have a talk with the boys. Because my full-time staff are all women, so they have like 3 extra moms at the teen center, and sometimes they need that positive male role model.
And there's so many different charities and it's like AHA, for example, that deal with teens. Is there any coordination between these various groups to say, you know, this, I have this kid and he's a better fit for you, or somebody says, we'd like you to take a look at this kid? Is there communications between the various services of these kids?
Well, I know with PAL, we have CALM right across the street from us. Mm-hmm. So if we feel CALM is a good fit for a child, we will refer them to CALM. We have referred youth to AHA. We have had AHA come to our teen center. We do work with the YMCA. We have a partnership with the Wilderness Youth Project and Montecito YMCA. So, you know, we want to be, you know, a safe place for kids, but if we're not a good fit, we will work to find what would be a good fit for them. And sometimes it's AHA, sometimes it's a Boys and Girls Club, sometimes it might be Girls Inc. So we want them in a safe place.
That's what's so nice about this community. There are so many groups that are available to basically deal with any type of child.
Absolutely.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Michelle Hillman Meyering, Executive Director of the Police Athletics League. And, you know, the current political issues that surrounding immigration and the whole DACA issue, I would imagine puts even more pressure on some of these kids. They're not sure if they go home or their parents will be home. And if that's a discussion at the dinner table, here they are now next to policemen during their fun period. I wonder if that's helpful in this period of high anxiety.
Well, I think our officers that are involved have made, if that issue has been brought to their, to them, that concern, they've been very clear that their role as Santa Barbara police officers is not to look for undocumented students. So that's not what they're doing. And we will help at Powell, our staff will help them in which whatever resources they need. But that's not really the role. It, my understanding, I'm not a police officer, but that, you know, the officers I work with have said they're not out looking for undocumented.
Yeah, what I really meant, though, was that if I'm a child that is afraid that the authorities are going to take me or my parents away, mm-hmm. having a relationship with a uniformed police officer in a positive way may alleviate some of the anxiety about seeing someone in a uniform. It doesn't it doesn't become the boogeyman.
I think absolutely. And that's what's really important with PALS nationwide is sometimes their first, even before the current political climate, there's some demographics where their first interaction with law enforcement is a negative one. Mm-hmm. Either they knock at the door because of domestic violence or somebody in their family is in prison or jail. And so kids have learned, been conditioned from an early age that it's not a good relationship. They're not at an age to understand there might have been actions and then consequences. Mm-hmm. So having that interaction with law enforcement does sort of ease the tension a little bit in these youth. They see law enforcement as a helpful resource.
And for the older kids, is there any training to how to interact if you're stopped by a police officer in a car, how to behave so you don't get yourself in trouble?
We do. We have had officers come and give little brief demonstrations to our older kids. We also have the Police Explorer Post, and they are youth, and that is one program. It's 14 and they age out at age 21, and they actually have an interest in law enforcement. So they train weekly with law enforcement. They have a very good understanding of the procedures that law enforcement follows, mm-hmm. and that it's just not arbitrary. And they go to competitions, and so they are taught. And that's, I think, one of the things we want to, whether it's a police officer or a teacher or an employer, is you deal with them with respect. And I think if we can have youth and people in general just have that knowledge, as if you treat somebody with respect when you're questioned, whether it's a law enforcement or a teacher or a boss, that you're going to be treated with respect in return. I think that's the big thing.
You know, so much of, I think, in not only in AHA's view, but my view, looking back at my life, is emotional intelligence is more important than academic success. And
this is all part of being a responsible, full human being, to be emotionally intelligent and understand how to interact with people. And that could be one of the great lessons these kids could get.
Oh, absolutely. We actually have, I'm glad you brought this up. We have started, I don't know if you've heard of Monty Roberts. He's the horse whisperer. Mm-hmm. He's up in Solvang. He has developed a program where he works with veterans and first responders, and it's called the Join Up, where they work with this, you know, horses are very large flight animals. So if they don't feel safe, they're going to run. And they've developed a program called the Lead Up, which is targeted through youth. And their mission is to develop nonviolent leaders. And it's using your body language and your slowing down your breathing and kind of focusing on how you gain the trust of this large flight animal, just using those nonverbal cues. And that goes right in line with what you're saying. We're actually taking a group up in the weekend of the 9th and 10th to go through all this training. And you don't have to be violent or have an emotional outburst. You can control a situation just by controlling your own emotions.
And not to be funny, because it probably isn't funny, but is this relevant also for social relationships with members of the opposite sex? I mean, you see what's going on today in the world, and it's as if, you know, some of these adults don't know how to behave. And I wonder if this is relevant.
Oh, it absolutely is relevant. And I think because we are a co-ed facility and we monitor their behavior, and again, it's about respect, having respect for yourself and how you respond to somebody with respect. And when we can build their self-confidence and their emotional intelligence and just their overall well-being, I think for both the men and the women, they're going to understand the appropriate boundaries.
And do kids, since you have a pretty large spectrum, you said 11 to 18?
Yes.
So do the older kids help run the events, the activities? Do they graduate into a helper, or are they all sort of thrown in together and everyone comes to their own age group?
A lot of programs, it's mixed, but we have a program called the Youth Leadership Council. Those are high school age students. And they meet weekly to do community service hours and receive college readiness training. And many of them become mentors to a younger child. And sometimes it's just a natural relationship that forms, and sometimes it's a staff member saying, you know what, I think can you just keep an eye on this younger kid? I think he'd do really well in this program. Would you go with him and see? So the younger kids really do look up to the older kids, and we do have a higher standard for some of our teenagers in letting them be aware that the younger ones look up to them.
So the Youth Leadership Council is all kids. The leaders are not...
They're
all kids. Mm-hmm. And so they get to... the leaders then get the sense of that they have a responsibility and learn how to help other kids, which gives them confidence, I guess, as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Peer mentoring.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned leaders, and you have a thing called Leaders Today, Heroes Tomorrow, and that's a pretty high Heroes Tomorrow. That's a pretty high, lofty goal. So, what is that? Because, tell me, what is it? What is that about?
I think that came about from one of our Big Little Pal camps. This Youth Leadership Council every year fundraises and plans the spring break Big Little Pal camp, where we invite 14 8 to 11-year-olds who may not have a safe place to be during that week off of school, and we pair them with one of our high school students, and they receive one-on-one mentoring for that entire week. And one year, I think that was on one of our shirts, is Leaders Today, Heroes Tomorrow. And heroes come in many different forms. My youth leadership, to some of these younger kids, they are heroes. They see them graduating from high school. My Youth Leadership Council just delivered last Wednesday Thanksgiving meals to 5 different families. So if you're one of our younger kids who received that meal, they're going to look as a hero. Their high school students brought them a meal that they may not have had. So that's...
I read an article that said that the poorest people, there's an inverse relationship between the amount of giving and the amount of money you have. In terms of percentages, the poorer people tend to give more as a percentage because, well, some of it's just statistical, but also because they understand the power and the need for giving.
Absolutely.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coramore Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, Improving Attitude, Creating Social Harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Michelle Hillman Mehring, the Executive Director of the Police Athletics League, and, you know, Activities League. And what's interesting is after each break, I come back and I give some statements about what AHA does. And, you know, I could probably say these things about your group, too. You know, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens, you know, improving attitude. This is all stuff that you guys do as well.
Absolutely.
So let's just step back and talk about your favorite subject, you. You're not a native Californian.
No, I'm not a native Californian.
I didn't see a surfboard on your car when you came in today. That was why I guessed.
Yes. No. I've never tried surfing. I have not even swam in this ocean since I moved here 4 years ago.
Well, you have to pay a fee to get into the ocean. You didn't know that. That's good. You didn't do it. It's, you know, you have to.
Yes.
So you're from?
I was born in South Dakota and then moved to Arizona when I was 7. And I lived there until I was 30. And then my ex-husband is military. So I've lived all over, including 2 years in Germany, which was fabulous. And our last duty station was Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I made a giant leap of faith almost 4 years ago and loaded up my car and drove cross country and landed in Santa Barbara.
How did you land here? Did your GPS system say Santa Barbara, or had you heard about it?
I had visited. My roommate from college lives out here and her family. And so I had been out here several times on holiday, and I had met anybody who knows PAL knows Wojo Kent. He's a retired police officer and the founding officer of PAL. I had met him prior to moving out here, and we talked about PAL. And so I decided to make a leap of faith, and there's no looking back. It's been good.
Excellent choice. When I moved out here, a friend of mine from work called me after 6 months, and he said, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. Do you want to have lunch? I said, great. Where are you staying? He said, at the Fairmont. I said, the Fairmont? I said, the Fairmont's in San Francisco. He said, yeah. You know, you live in California. It's, you know, it's all out there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, distance on the West Coast between cities is very different than the distance between states on the East Coast.
Right. In New York, you drive down the street and you change worlds. Every 10 blocks is a different culture, a different world. Here, it just goes on and on forever.
But absolutely.
This is still the best place. So your education took you to different places, too. Where were you educated?
I was educated in Arizona. I'm a graduate of Arizona State, go Sun Devils. We just beat U of A. Thank you very much. We brought home the Territorial Cup. My degree is exercise science, so I have a passion for getting people out and moving. And then I went post-bac for physical education. So I've always enjoyed working with youth and helping them develop.
And because you do 10 different jobs as executive director, do you ever get out there and actually do something that involves sports, or are you always at a computer?
No, I do get out. I have done some of the PT training with our Police Explorer Post. So I've gotten out and led them in their physical training. I've gone and played tennis with a couple of our girls from the teen center and led, you know, a couple different classes with them over there. But I do on the weekends. I like to get out and hike or walk.
So let's talk about money. In order to run this place, you have to have money. And what's interesting is the constituency of the group you serve, these kids don't have money. So you can't look to them or their families probably.
No, you cannot.
So you have to do some really good. So I assume you have many, many roles. Are you also the development director?
Yes, I'm also the development director. And so we do. We write a lot of grants. I do each year. We do a large fundraising event each April called Putting Kids First, where we raise anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000. So that's a really good event. We ran our first golf tournament last June, and that did very well. Our youth council, they'll do a few smaller fundraisers, but it's mostly private donations and grants and our small fundraisers that bring in the money.
And if someone wants to donate, who's listening, they can go to your website?
They can go to www.sbpal.org and hit the Donate Now button, and you can donate.
Great. So tell me who Maribel Franco was.
Maribel Franco, we partner with Cal Soap for our tutoring program, and she came to PAL in the spring of 2014 as one of the Cal Soap tutors. And at that time, we maybe had 15 kids in the tutoring lab. She was one of the tutors that really engaged our youth and motivated them to push themselves and work harder. She was in, I think, the summer of 2016, spring of 2016, we hired her at PAL. She graduated from UCSB, and we hired her. And she had a huge passion for giving back to the community. Community service was huge. And she left to go pursue her master's degree down in Long Beach. And in October of last year, she was hit and killed by a vehicle. And that her loss was a huge impact on our kids. She was one who believed in every single one of them reaching their full potential. For some of those kids, that was a 3.0. For some, it was a 2.0. But she wanted them to improve and to keep striving. So with the blessing of her parents, we created the Maribel Franco Scholarship Fund. And there's an application process for PAL teens who have been involved in the PAL program their senior year and part of the tutoring program. Last year, we awarded our first two recipients. They each received $500 towards their college education.
That's great. So tell us about your involvement with Teen Sport Radio. When is that on? That's on Thursdays?
Tuesdays. Every single Tuesday, 9 a.m.
Is it? Now, that's a little bit louder than this show. Is that right?
It's a little bit louder. It's kind of crazy.
By the way, as soon as you started talking, your voice went up.
I know, because you have to move up. There's like competition. I mean, one week I was told that you know, one of the other co-hosts eats small blonde children. So, no, that is a I was invited as a guest by Victoria Warris. She's the director of the Girls Inc. down in Carp. And after that, Erica Salder said, I want you to be a co-host. So I come on, and I'll usually bring a youth with me, maybe once or twice a month. It's a little loud.
So it gives so you do it though because it gives the kids at PAL an opportunity to be on the radio, or why do you do it?
Well, I do it one to get the word out about PAL.
Uh-huh.
We were for several years one of the best kept secrets, and now I think people are realizing the impact we're making on the youth and in the community. But it is also a great opportunity for the kids to come and tell their story and to give them that experience of being on the radio, and exposes them to a different.
So where are the kids today?
They're in school.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, yeah, they're in school.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Michelle Hillman Meyering, Executive Director of the Police Activities League. And I just mentioned bullying. Is bullying an issue for the kids who come to your groups?
Some of our kids do face bullying at school. It obviously is not a behavior we tolerate at the teen center. So if a child has indicated that there might be bullying, we do bring in the parents and we will meet with the teachers. And there's especially for the high schools, there's a resource officer that we can contact, and they will keep an eye on them at school as well.
One of the things that AHA does is restorative justice, which I think is really wonderful, where you sit down with the perpetrator and the person being bullied, and you try to show the perpetrator how much harm he or she has done,
right,
better than just simply punishing. And AHA goes to all the schools and teaches the teachers how to operate in a restorative justice world.
Right. Yeah, and AHA has student programs at the high schools we do. Yeah. Some of our youth have been involved in that.
Yeah, Peace Builders,
Peace Builders. They've been involved in those programs.
So speaking of programs, let's talk about some of your programs. You have, and this is a word you probably invented, Campership Alliance.
PAL might have invented it. I think it started in 06 or 07. Santa Barbara is a community rich in experiences. You have zoos and museums and sports and sailing. And so many of these other organizations raise their own monies to offer summer camp scholarships. Unfortunately, the families that they were targeting weren't receiving that information, and a lot of scholarships were going unused. So this Campership Alliance was created, and PAL operates as the central hub. So we start end of February, March, contacting those agencies who then will give us the scholarships that they have. So the zoo, for example, is one of those agencies. They'll say, okay, we have 5 or 10 scholarships. This is the week. This is the age group. This is, you know, the title. And then we inform the parents. They come to an orientation program or workshop so they understand the process. It is the only program that we require proof of income because it is a scholarship based with different agencies. And it's the only one we charge a fee, $25 fee, because and that's more for accountability. We want to ensure they're going to attend the camp. So it benefits our families because they come to one central location. So if you have a child who wants to do art, one who wants to go to the zoo, and one who wants to do sailing, you come to PAL, and you're able to register your child for all three of those camps in one day. And then we get that information to those agencies. If the child needs transportation, we can help arrange that. We hire a driver in the summer. It's on first-come, first-served basis, and that is another $25 fee. Last year, we had a record number of camps. 609 camps were allocated to low-income children in Santa Barbara.
So do any of the kids who want to go can't go, or are you able to find places for everybody?
Most often, we're able to find a place for everybody, and these are kids, whatever the age of the camp is, you know, 4 years old through 18. Of course, the high schoolers are a little bit harder. There's not as many camp opportunities for them. There are, I think it's the counselors in training that we often can get them put in those positions. Mm-hmm. But we do a pretty good job of giving everybody that is interested in a camp and qualifies getting them a camp.
You mentioned transportation. What happens if a child who comes to the center, just an ordinary week, can't get home? Do you have any solution for kids that need transportation home?
We do not have transportation to and from our teen center. So a lot of parents pick them up, or we are right down from the bus depot. So a lot of our kids ride the bus. And again, that's why we are ages 11 through 18, is they are able to access those.
Okay. So Explorer Post. What is Explorer Post?
That is the group I mentioned. They're ages 14 through 21 that are interested in a career in law enforcement. So they train weekly with law enforcement. They do drill. They have uniforms. They go to competitions. At the competitions, they are put through a scenario. So say a traffic stop, or a DUI stop, or a domestic violence, or a building search, and the proctors will rate them, and they do it just like you would see on, you know, Cops. It's the same procedure, and we actually have three of our young female explorers work at the police department now. One was hired 2 years ago as a cadet, and she now is an admin with one of the detective units, and the other two work in the business office. So it's their first step towards becoming law enforcement officers.
So do you have any statistics? I know it's early in your history at the institution, and you do so many other things, but it's right now donors like to see metrics to see how you're doing. Do you have any statistics about outcomes? You know, how do the kids do when they get out and they get into the real world?
We are starting to get some of those outcomes now. Social media is helping us to keep track of where our alum are going. I can say in the past 5 years, we've had 100% high school graduation rate among our high school seniors.
And that's great.
Yes, and 100% college admittance rate. And a lot of those are going to CC, which is a great opportunity for them. We have had some go to Westmont, some go to UC Merced, down at UCLA, and USC. So the kids are doing really well. In the most recent group of graduates, we've been able to really follow, and they like to come back. So we often have alumni coming back to Powell. And we now have an alumni seat on our board. So it's a two-year position, and we invite an alum to come sit on our board for 2 years.
Well, that's a great statistic. If the results show that every kid who goes ends up with an opportunity to go to college, and most do, that's quite a difference from what we see in the country.
Oh, absolutely. And our goal is that all youth graduate from high school with a plan. And I know not every child's going to find success in a four-year degree, but a two-year, you know, associate's degree or a plan to go into law enforcement or the military, I think is what we want for these kids, is a plan. Getting a technical certificate. Mm-hmm. The trade jobs aren't, it's hard. We don't have trade schools here. We are going to start the drag and automotive program for high schoolers, and they'll earn dual credit at the community college. And so it's their first step as high school students to get that training to become mechanics. So it prepares them for those careers.
Yeah, I spent a number of years after I retired and came out here teaching at City College. And the big challenge not only was getting kids to come, but was to have them finish.
Yes.
And there's so many competing pressures on these kids who have issues of money, jobs, children. It's very difficult for these kids. They really need support even after they get into school.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is the 1235 Teen Center is the place we talked about.
Correct.
And that is where everything happens.
That is where almost everything happens. If it doesn't happen there, the youth are transported. You know, we have a program with the golf, so we transport them up to the golf course, and we have a program with the Montecito YMCA twice a week, and they get transported from the teen center from there. And then Wilderness Youth comes every Monday and picks up a group of kids and takes them out. But everything originates at...
And how big is it? Is it a...
I do not know the square footage. It's not terribly big.
But do you have a basketball court there?
We do not have a... No. If anybody wants to give us a gym...
So it's not a gym?
No, it's not a gym. At some point, I don't know, it's a historical building. It's a city building. But if you have a chance, I would love to give you a tour. Mm. Most people have seen it. They just, when they walk in, they're amazed at the building.
Okay, so if anyone has a gym, we would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Correct.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Michelle Hillman-Mehring, Executive Director of Police Athletics League. Activities. You know, I'm from the East. I can't, it's too hard to say the activities. I'm just going to say athletic. PAL.
PAL.
That works. The next to last commercial we just heard talked about Habitat for Humanity and talked about volunteering. You have a very small staff. Can people from outside in our community volunteer to help?
Oh, absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers. One of our biggest needs is in our tutoring center, but sometimes we just need those positive mentors for the kids who, you know, they want to come in and you know, shoot a game of pool with them or play foosball or provide that positive mentoring to them. And all we have a form that we have everybody fill out, and everybody is background checked, and then you're able to come in and volunteer.
So you mentioned tutoring. Who does the tutoring?
Right now we have a partnership with Cal SOAP, who provides us with two tutors.
What's and
we
Cal SOAP? Sorry.
Cal SOAP is the Student Opportunity Access Program, and it is a program of the Community Action Commission, CAC. So their goal is they hire tutors, mostly from UCSB, I believe, and who are on a need basis, and then they reach out to different partnering agencies and provide tutors. So we also have a few from Westmont College who come over and tutor, and then we are in the process of hiring three of our own tutors. Because we have some days 30 to 40 kids in the tutoring lab, and currently 80 youth enrolled in the tutoring program.
And this is a whole group of subjects. It's math, English. I mean, is it?
It's math, English, and science predominantly, especially for our high school students. The new core curriculum is kind of crazy. So if somebody has a strength in that, we would love to have you stop by.
So with the high schools, no one understands the
core curriculum, correct.
Yes, that's the problem. So what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite success story?
What I do. We have a young girl who started at PAL when she was in junior high in the sports program. Terrific athlete and strong student, but this was before my time, but I've gotten to know her since. But she sort of had a little bit of an attitude and hung out with some sort of unsavory kids. And working with PAL, and her cousin worked at PAL, we were able to get her enrolled in a high school different from where her youth were her gang, or not a gang, she wasn't in a gang, I don't want to use that term. Her friends were going. And it was the absolute perfect move for her. She joined the YLC her freshman year at PAL. Her sophomore year, she was secretary. Junior year, she was vice president. She graduated a year ago. She worked hard. She ended up living independently for a few years for her junior and senior year just due to family dynamics. And she is at Westmont this year.
Wow, wonderful.
She's going to, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for what you do and what PAL does. And I'm so glad you came here. And I'm coming from South Dakota. I bet you're glad you came here, too.
Yes. Thank you.
You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll be with us next week at the same time.
It's